And David Cerreta back with us on Coast to Coast as we talk about solar UFOs, UFOs that you just can't see. David Cerreta next on Coast to Coast AM. David Cerreta with us, of course. David, well known as a space scientist, physicist, ecologist, a spiritual explorer as well. He's the co-founder of Voice Entertainment, director, producer, filmmaker, photographer, you name it. You've been a puppet, a poet. David, welcome back.
Hey, George, good to be with you tonight. It's been a while.
Invisible UFOs? What are they?
Well, you know, for me, you know, the story was never over when I discovered those UFOs with Martin Stubbs on the NASA STS-75 space shuttle mission in 1996, February and March. The cameras, special cameras on the shuttle to see invisible wavelengths of light are looking at this swarm of pulsing, huge, what appear to be huge, mile-wide UFOs going by this electrical dynamic tether incident that went awry. And when they zoom in on the pulsing UFOs, I was able to get a really good VCR in those days and go frame by frame. And when we see the pulses, we see a Fibonacci golden ratio spiral vortex coming out of the middle of the black hole in the center of the UFO, and that eliminated all possibilities of this being an out-of-focus, airy disk, you know, which were many of the theories that NASA contended. There's no way you would see a crisp, you know, vortex wave pattern like that repeating itself in a pulse fashion had this been an out-of-focus blob of light. And that has stuck with me for so long. And the mystery of finding out how it is that these craft can exist in these invisible dimensions and we don't see it. Now, I've been a professional photographer on top of, you know, meditating every day for 35 years and doing science work. And now I am mastering number and frequency and transmission like crazy. That's all I'm doing these days is decoding the hidden dimensions of the universe via frequency. And what happened recently, now, I remember when I had my first, you know, cameras in the 1960s and 70s, you were lucky to get a thousandth of a second shutter speed.
Right, and that was film.
And that was film, and then Nikon's went to 2,000. Well, now I have the Nikon 36 megapixel D800E 1/8,000th of a second shutter speed. And, you know, if you look at Jose Escamilla and what he was doing with rods, they were pointing the camera not at the sun, these video cameras that could go up to a 2,000th of a second, but the edge of the roof where the sun was, and you would see these rods, these amazing invisible, you know, critters or beings, whatever they are, going by. And they weren't bugs. We knew they weren't bugs because they don't look anything like bugs, and you can't see them with the naked eye.
Yeah, unless it's a new species of bugs, for all.
Unless it's an invisible critter, you know, as Trevor James Constable might say, a good old friend of mine. So, but now with this 1/8,000th of a second, I realize I can point my camera right at the sun and crank the shutter down to an 1/8,000th of a second at f/35, and I guarantee you I'm not getting bugs because I took pictures at that shutter speed of the lake. I live right on the lake in the West Kootenays of British Columbia in a town called Nelson, and I took pictures of the reflections off the lake at that shutter speed, pitch black, so I couldn't be getting the reflection of a bug. And I hear this voice say, go get your camera, put it on the tripod, put it up at the sun now. So I do it, and within like 15 seconds, this very large, I have to say, high frequency UFO goes by. And I'm shooting in an 1/8,000th of a second, but my frame rate on my video on my Nikon is about 30 frames a second. And, oh, my God, I can't see this when I'm filming, but when I go into my editing bay, there's this amazing object going right across the surface of the sun, like seconds after I turn the camera on. And when I zoom in on it, it's very similar to the STS-75 NASA space shuttle tapes, the very translucent-looking, glowing, pulsing objects that were going by the shuttle. But now I'm getting them right in front of the sun, right above my house, you know, and pretty much in the middle of nowhere where we live. And they're clear, they're disc-shaped, And in some of the still frames from the video, they look like a Vesca Pisces, or two circular kind of donut shape craft.
How big are they, Dave?
Well, you see, these things, you know, I'm using a lens that's 300 millimeters zoomed all the way in. So if there were any bugs anywhere near the lens, and there's no bugs, I mean, it's cold. It's, you know, it's the middle of the day. It's not summer anymore. I don't see any mosquitoes flying around. And you wouldn't see those at the shutter speed. It's impossible. So they've got to be way up there, and therefore these things have got to be 100 yards across minimum. And there's lots of them. I mean, when we look at, I mean, I'm using the tether incident footage, which is now world famous with, you know, tens of millions of views. And you see this swarm of UFOs. What wasn't unlike that, what I was seeing, I was seeing smaller UFOs going by the sun.
Smaller being what? Like,
well,
little orbs?
Smaller, or? Like meaning way up there. And then two or three that were so large in size and the optics of the camera that I'd have to say they were at least 100,000, a football field wide. And they've got structure. They've got real structure. And they're cylindrical with toroids attached to them. They're mainly toroidal. But when I saw one frame at an 1/8000th of a second, the image had doubled, which means, I mean, at an 1/8000th of a second, you can capture a speeding bullet, which is going 1,500 miles an hour or faster. But this thing was doubled, which means this thing must be pulsing at least 16,000
wow.
times per second. I mean, physically pulsing that fast. Now, what had happened is, you know, throughout the summer, I'd go out in my kayak, and I'm going fishing on the lake, and it's, you know, clear, sunny day. And I look up, and I see these bright lights, and then they're gone, like 2 seconds. And I go, am I really seeing that?
And you're looking with the naked eye, right?
With the naked eye.
Yeah.
So that's what made me think, you know they're there, because I would tell my wife when I come back from fishing and I didn't catch a fish, you know, I'm seeing these UFOs out there. But they're so fast, like only like 2 seconds, and they're gone. And that's when I said, you know, you got to get your camera. You got to do this test, this super high-speed test. Now, right now, if you take your hand and you run it across your eyes in front of your face, you'll see a strobe trail. And that little strobe trail is because your brain, when it's relaxed, you know, it might be in alpha brain waves.
It keeps that image, doesn't it?
Yeah, because it's taking pictures, like 25 or 30 pictures a second, and it keeps it for a second in the memory bank, and you see the strobe trail. Well, that's, you're not seeing in between the 30 frames a second in the brain. In between that, there's all this missing data and missing space. So a camera is very similar to the human brain and the optics of the eye.
Well, how do you know, David, that these objects aren't popping in and out of time warps, for example?
Well, I mean, that's what happens. The higher the frequency, you start to get time dilation, and then the lower the frequency, you get time dilation when you change frequency over the norm. You see, our brains, when we're sleeping, we're actually around the same frequency as our planet, you know, 7.83 hertz in the northern hemisphere and about 7.5 at the equator. So we dream at the frequency of our planet. When I measured the frequency of all the 9 planets in the solar system, they match the 5 major brainwave states, which is unimaginable how that could not be a coincidence. But there's different types of UFOs. I categorize UFOs in 3 major states: physical, metallic craft that use thrusters or anti-gravity drives that may be from the local solar system itself and not
right.
much further. And then there are craft that can pulse their metallic structure and convert themselves into pure light energy, and they're vibrating in very high frequency states.
And they could still be from planetary systems, right?
And they could still be from planetary interstellar systems. And then there's the angelic or super, super high frequency UFOs that remain only in these high-frequency states, and they don't really become physical unless in a rare case like the visions of Ezekiel or something like that, where these giant wheels appear. And in fact, there's a case, there are a few cases where, you know, we've moved from Sedona, Arizona to this area in the Kootenays, British Columbia, and there are cave drawings here along the lakes, the various lakes, of these luminous craft and luminous beings that the, you know, First Nations people here saw hundreds to even thousands of years ago. Last year at this time, my little daughter, Alara, was 3 years old, and we're bathing in the hot springs, which are 10 minutes from our house, the Ainsworth Hot Springs. And we meet this little boy in the pool, and she's playing with him, and he's 7 years old. And he tells us that he's so excited. Just 2 days ago, he said this. He woke up at 2 in the morning, and there was a 30-foot ball of light hovering above his dad's barn. I mean, this is incredible stuff. Hovering above, and it was humming and making a frequency sound. Now, there are...
Sounds like Ezekiel's wheel, doesn't it?
What's that?
Sounds like Ezekiel's wheel.
Well, there's a story like that in the Kootenai UFO reports in the 1960s of somebody who saw something just like that, these giant wheels, and it lit up the entire night sky and, you know, in their cabins, and they woke up in the middle of the night and they see these things. So this area is highly active. And when I started doing my transmissions here, the neighbors, you know, who had attended some of my lectures in the town would write me an email, "Oh my God, we saw UFOs above, you know, the town where I live last night." You know, I live outside of the town of Nelson in the middle of nowhere with my wife and baby right on the lake. So we know you can attract them via frequency transmission, but you can also change your frequency in your body to start to see them. And I think that's what's starting to happen, because I'm with somebody else. You know, I go out in I bought a little 1970s fishing boat, and a great fishing out here. And
what's a 1970s fishing boat?
It's called a Starcraft Holiday. It's like a, you know, Mercury 65 horsepower engine. You know,
it was made out of wood or aluminum.
No, aluminum frame, you know, $3,500 used, and, you know, it's great, it's fast. I go out on the lake, and I see them again, and I'm seeing them, and I'm telling the person next to me, you know, my wife's mom, "Do you see it? Do you see it?" And she's like, "No, I don't see it." And I wonder about that little kid, you know, 7 years old, telling my daughter the story, that is it his brain that is shifted that allows him to see this? Well, the only way to prove that this isn't a hallucination and that what's been happening to me over the years is not a hallucination is to get photographic evidence. And that is what I believe I've done by pointing my camera at the sun with this enormously high shutter speed.
What is it about the sun? Why are they somewhat hiding near the sun?
Well, I think the sun energizes, and once they pulse and they convert mass steel into light wave, they don't really want to lower their frequency very much, because it's way more fun to be at that frequency and move around super fast throughout the universe. And I think they need stars, suns, to help them energize and stay in that state. They don't really want to come down to our level very often, but they do once in a while. And they can also shift through what's known as electrical induction, which is the transfer of frequency from one frequency transmitter to a receiver. And a human being is an electrical being. We have electricity in our nervous system. We have, you know, millivolts on the surface tension of our fingers and our body, which you can measure with a common voltmeter. And we have within us all of the stuff that's in computers and radios, you know, calcium and silica in our bones, which is crystal, to actually receive frequencies. And so through inductance, you can transmit frequencies into a receptive person, alter their state of consciousness so they can, that you can raise them up enough to see you and lower yourself a little bit so you meet each other halfway. And that's what I think is happening in a lot of these UFO cases, where, you know, there are queer examples. And I love the reports of children, too, because they're so innocent. You know, they're not going to make this story up just to get attention. In fact, you know, I'm not even naming the name.
How many objects are you seeing at any given time?
Well, on the sun, when I'm videotaping the sun and looking at frame by frame, I'm probably seeing 10 or 20 objects go by in a minute. And they're, you know, like I said, I've ruled out bugs. You can't see a bug at an 8,000th of a second. There's just, you know, it just turns pitch black. So it's busy out there. And it's probably so busy, just like when the space shuttle cameras were looking in the invisible ultraviolet near and far spectrum. I confirmed at NASA from letters from NASA scientist Joseph Newt III. It's probably so busy out there that where we only appear to be alone in the solar system, there's more and more evidence from photography from Mars. In fact, I captured one on the Mars site, the new Mars mission site, of a corkscrewing, glowing UFO that was captured on a camera frame in the black and white not that long ago, and put it on my Facebook wall. So there's no doubt the solar system is teething with life and craft and activity. It has to do with the frequency of the individual. And I have a video up on your site now called The Lost Scale, which you must see. You know, just go up on the Coast to Coast AM site and see it. And what this demonstrates is a scientific experiment where I show our music scale, which is 12 chromatic tones, or 7 bass tones, A, B, C, D, F, G. You know, we all learned this as kids.
Well, some of us did.
And when you play them, one tone after another, stacked on top of each other, they shimmer because there's distortion in our music scale. It's not perfect. It's not horrible. But it's far from perfect. And what that does is, when we're broadcasting music through all these radio antennas all over the planet, you know, thousands of broadcasts a day, we are causing distortion in the local electromagnetic field, which then cooperatively affects consciousness and affects plants and affects gardens and affects bees and everything. Well, then I decided to test scientifically the famous solfeggio scale, and I tested it's a 9-tone scale. It starts with 6 numbers, and you know, ultimately, you know, we have 7 to 10 chakras within our consciousness. 6 is not enough tones for a music scale, and basically it distorts, but it's better than our scale. Now, I've been working on this for years. When I did the math on the Great Pyramid of Egypt as the crystal oscillator and converted all the numbers to tones, I found an ancient harmonic music scale of 10 tones with absolutely no distortion in between the notes.
Now, and these solfeggio frequencies, by the way, just so people can understand, has to do with a 6-tone scale from the ancient days, right? They called it sacred music, didn't they?
Right. Well, they see, the idea of solfeggio was that the Gregorian monks knew a scale that could tune you as an electrical vibrational instrument to have contact with the angels and God.
When we come back from the break, David, I'm going to just go through the 6 main frequencies for people who are really into this. It's fascinating. And then we'll talk a little bit more about these UFOs and why they're popping up, and why you're being able to pick them up. David Cerrito with us here on Coast to Coast AM. His website, lightstreamtechnologies.com, linked up at coasttocoastam.com. And look at the 2 videos he sent us. They're up there near his name at coasttocoastam.com. Next hour, we'll take your phone calls with David Cerrito. Let's come back and talk about the solfeggio frequencies and what that means to you on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back. David Cerrito with us. David, before I go through these 6 frequencies, how are they used to help you?
Well, see, what happens, George, is it's a theory that they found the actual true Gregorian tones. And the problem is there's 7 to actually, there's even 3 more crown chakras above the 7th crown chakra to communicate with cosmos or, you know, God, however you want to define it. And with 6 tones, you don't really even reach the 7th chakra. And to add another tone with the same math, there's a 9-tone solfeggio scale which I tested in the video you see on your website, mm-hmm. and it distorts. But it's better, it's less distortion than our current music scale, so it's the best thing we have to tune us and to tune our energy field today. But the scale I found in the pyramid is far superior to solfeggio. It's so perfect.
Different frequencies?
Well, yeah, it's a 10-tone scale, which, you know, in the Bible Book of Psalms, there is a passage that refers to a 10-string lyre, meaning a 10-tone lyre. And the hard thing to do with frequencies is to stack them on top of each other with no distortion in between the notes. It's almost impossible. In fact, it's like the Holy Grail would be a, you know, 9 or more tones that don't distort at all. And our music sounds so beautiful today, we think it's perfect, but there's an underlying distortion, which you can hear in the video. But the scale I found, which is in the pyramid itself, is 10 tones, and they're so beautiful. I play the first 5 as a teaser in the video, but I have all 10 of them, and I'm going to be releasing them to the world shortly here. And I really believe, because we can see amazing health benefits and consciousness shifting just from the solfeggio tones.
Let's go through these tones and explain them if you can for us, David. I'll go through all 6. 396 hertz, it says liberating guilt and fear. 417 hertz, undoing situations and facilitating change. 528 hertz, transformation and miracles. 639 hertz, connecting relationships. 741, expressions and solutions. And then 852, returning to spiritual order. Why do different frequencies have different meanings, I guess?
Well, the solfeggio has become, you know, a huge New Age, you know, method of toning and opening up the energy centers in the body.
Do you agree with that?
Well, I think they're good. I think they're far better than the current ABCDFG distorts way more. And, you know, the 12 tones. See, there's 12 tones in our music scale times 8. So there's 8 octaves of the same 12 tones. So they keep going up and they keep going up and they keep going up. But in my scale that I found in the pyramid, there's 10 tones and there's 10 octaves. So, and they're perfect. They're absolutely perfect. There's not an ounce of distortion. See, what you look for is distortion in between. Because imagine if you're trying to cause your spiritual energy to rise within you. In fact, there's a gospel called the Gospel of the Egyptians where Jesus teaches these 7 sacred tones to cause the ascension and the activation of your light body, what we now call the light body, or what they call the chrism in mystic Christianity. And this gospel was lost, and we know, I know from studying it, that Jesus got the 7 sacred tones from the pyramid, but there's a total of 10. He's giving 7, but he doesn't, of course, they didn't have frequency right down to a science the way we do today. They toned in tune to the ear and to the length of a string to produce a particular note that was what we believed was perfect. But now, with advanced technology, we know solfeggio's tones are numbers, they're frequencies, which you can generate in a tone generator perfectly. And they're very good, which is why they're so successful at transforming consciousness. But what I found in the pyramid is this pattern of 5151. I found it everywhere. I found it in the Ark of the Covenant. I divided the, calculated the frequency of the capstone base of the Great Pyramid, which is 5.151 megahertz square. I found, you know, the Ark of the Covenant when you converted it to a true qubit from the Great Pyramid. The Ark of the Covenant,
yeah,
was actually 51.51 Egyptian inches long. So what did I then when you study the Greek, because the Greeks studied the Egyptians, and for the Greek, they have a number for every single word in their language. And the number for harp, which was kithara, is 5-1. So I realized this, the real meaning of what the Greeks interpreted in the pyramid is there is a tonal or frequency scale sitting there that's based on 5-1. So my C is at 515.1, and the solfeggio C is 528, you know, which Len Horowitz calls the love frequency, which generates a lot of activity in the heart chakra.
Now, 528 is of course, part of the solfeggio frequency, but what's the significance of 432, which is not included in that?
It's not included. The 432 is a whole philosophy, but you see, it's one. It's not really 432. It's 432 point this long stream of numbers. You know, it's not exactly 432. It's not a scale. It's one single tone, and the human energy system is comprised of 7 to 10 chakras that need an entire scale to cause the energy in the light body to become activated. So you can't activate an entire light body with a single tone. Now, there's people who are going to get mad at me for saying that, but we're not a single tone being. We have these different tones. See, Pythagoras called it the musica humana. The musica humana is the music of the body, which then vibrates and extends itself into the music of the universe, which is called the musica mundana. So the human consciousness expands into the universal consciousness.
Well, this is incredible, though, David, the way frequencies seem to work. How do they work, though? What causes them to work?
Well, in the early days, it was the length of a string and what a string was made of where Pythagoras could determine a frequency for a tone based on a string's length. You know, he called it the monochord, which became the tetrachord, 10-string, instrument. But now it's much more precise than that. Music has evolved tremendously, so there's a search for the true solfeggio. There are many people who disagree that today's solfeggio is the true scale because you can't build a music scale on 6 tones. So the 6 tones we do know in solfeggio are nearly perfect, but they're not enough. You need at least 7, and 7 is primary, so we expanded to 12. It's harder and harder to get no distortion with the more tones you get in the scale, and it's just never been done. And what I'm going to release is going to be an iconoclasm to the entire music world because it's perfect. And the ancients knew it, and I can prove it mathematically in the pyramid that these tones are all there. And it's a scale that goes up and up and up multiple octaves until eventually you're at the frequency of these super light craft and these super light beings. It's a pathway to get you there. So when you have distortion in a musical human instrument, the distortion knocks the energy down. It's like knocking the kundalini or the life force energy down because the waves are smashing into each other. So if you want it to ascend, it has to be perfect.
That's amazing how that happens.
Are you hearing a humming?
Yeah, I'm hearing a little humming. Are you?
I hear this hum that just came in.
It just popped in about 2 minutes ago.
Talking about solfeggio.
Yeah. The old man is sending us tones.
Isn't this weird? Like, it's quite loud.
Yeah, it really is. I don't know if that's on your end or ours, David.
No, there's nothing here. I mean, I could try turning. Let me just turn my computer off.
Okay.
My Big Mac.
No.
Turn that off. Nope.
Nope, that's not it.
That's not it.
We'll try to reconnect with you at the top of the hour.
Yeah, I mean, I hope we can get through this, but maybe this
if not,
is
we'll
signal.
Use your back. We'll use your backup line.
Tone that God wants us to hear.
I don't know. It's weird.
It's very weird. So anyway, George, what I'm saying is the human body. Why does a child see? I mean, I know so many people that saw a UFO when they were 7 years old. I saw my UFO in Berkeley when I was 7 years old. Right? And what is it about children when they reach a certain development of their electrical nervous system that they have these experiences where they see the craft, they see, an angel, they see something, and then throughout life we introduce them, I believe, musically to beautiful music. I love human music. I our music scale, I don't want to call it evil. I just want to call it, it hasn't evolved. And there's something the ancients knew that was more perfect, which is what I'm demonstrating in the end of the video. There's a more perfect scale. I actually found 2 flawless scales. two absolutely flawless scales, and one of the scales has a number that's a cipher that you can add to 432, you can add to 528, you can add it to anything and regenerate with that master key, and you'll always create a perfect scale with as many tones as you want.
Nikola Tesla, of course, everybody knows him as the father of electromagnetic engineering, once said that if you knew the magnificence of the number 369, you'd hold the key to the universe. Now, those numbers are significant in the solfeggio frequencies. What does that mean, the 369?
Well, firstly, I mean, I don't know where Tesla said that, for one. I just want to start with that. I mean, I've read every single manuscript that I could get my hands on in Tesla, but that doesn't mean I know everything. So I'd like to know the source of that statement.
Can't give you that.
But I do know from my, you know, all I've been doing for the last, you know, 5 years is generating blends of frequencies. And I don't see anywhere in nature a single number or frequency at play. I can create sacred geometries with frequencies, recording frequencies with certain numbers together in my audio editing bay. Instead of an up and down sound wave file, I see geometries because of the way I'm blending numbers. And that's what a scale is. A scale is a blending of tones, and they actually produce geometric patterns. I mean, this is what cymatics tells us. When you run sound patterns through a big speaker cone with a steel plate and you put water in it, you're going to see, or rice grains, you're going to see the geometries of those interference patterns of those frequencies. But most people do this with single frequencies. They don't do it with blends. And the universe is definitely a blend of myriads of frequencies. And we know from even taking the recording of the NASA sound of the sun and exposing it to water and instantly freezing the waveform, we can see some of the most advanced geometries ever recorded in the geometric world. In fact, never has anybody really understood the NASA sound of the sun water crystal. I've spent a lot of time doing math on that crystal formation. I've just never seen anything like it anywhere in nature. So I'm interested in scales, and I'm interested in tones that can open up you, the receiver, the person who's perceiving the universe, to higher dimensions so you can start to see what's really around you, is that you're not alone. There are beings around us all the time. And this has been my experience in, you know, doing meditation, breath work, and sound and light work for 35 years.
Well, you know, David, there was a point that I would say years ago, that when I heard stories about frequencies and tones and all those other things, I thought it was, this is way out. This is a little too foo-foo for me. But then I began to realize that people are actually healing themselves. They're going through an incredible metamorphosis with this. And, It is unbelievable. I mean, these are frequencies, and you could play these frequencies. You can actually get them, and you know, once you get them, you can play them. And I'm going to go through them again. If those of you who understand Hertz, 396, it's for liberating guilt and fear. For some reason, if you listen to that, it's going to liberate you from guilt and fear. I don't know how that works. 417 hertz, it's going to undo situations. It's going to facilitate change in your life. 528, it'll generate a miracle. I need that number. 639, connections and relationships for you. So I guess you just play that. And then 741, expressions and solution, 852, returning to spiritual order. But who was Solfeggio, David? Who was this person? Are you there? Nope, not there. So we'll try to figure out where he is and get him back for you. Simple as that. Yeah, as soon as David started talking about frequencies and different sounds, strange things happened. And poof, he's gone. So we've got Tommy in there trying to get a connection with him. We all heard that little buzz going on before. If, for some reason, we can't get David back, we'll do open lines next hour for you here. Simple as that. Now, they're telling us that what they have. You still with us, David? No, he's not there, Tom. He's not there. Simple as that. He is gone. So be it, David. So be it. We're going to generally plan on open lines next hour and see what we can do. Now he's on East. He can, all right. Where are you? David, are you there this time?
Yeah, I picked up a different landline. This is a 1960s phone just to see if there's no problem here.
Huh. Gone through the entire Solfeggio frequency, but I was asking you before you disappeared on us, who is the guy?
Well, there is no actual person, Solfeggio. It's a term used in music and harmony and music scales to denote the mysterious Gregorian scale that nobody has ever really absolutely confirmed.
Now, when people listen to the frequencies, it's supposed to do something to them?
Well, the idea is a perfect scale will resonate from the bottom to the top with your human musical instrument. We know we're a human musical instrument because we jump and dance and move around when we hear music and sound. So we respond to frequency. We're alive. We're stimulated by frequencies. So a perfect scale would resonate all of your chakras all the way up to cause an awakening of consciousness. And we actually tested with an aura camera my scale that I found in the Great Pyramid on the chakras, and it lit up the light body in three different subjects in Sedona. After a one-hour session, we transmitted it magnetically, this scale. And I've never seen that much light coming out of a person on an aura camera. I've never seen anything like
that. Yeah, how long do you have to listen to the frequencies before it affects you?
Well, see, there's two ways of doing it. Sound is limited to a speaker's ability to produce, at the very best, you know, maybe 25 hertz to 20,000 hertz, which is where you can hear. You know, some humans can hear less than 25 hertz, but most speakers won't put that out. But I have absolutely confirmed that just listening to the audible octaves of the pyramid scale absolutely profoundly affect the chakras.
All right, hold on, David. We're going to come back. We're at the top of the hour, and we'll chat with you with phone calls about invisible UFOs and these frequencies. Fascinating. I'm George Norrie, back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.